The Wellness Pathfinder takes a discovery journey along body, mind and soul.
Hello to everybody. I hope that you guys are all well. Today I'm excited to be having a chat with John. Now, it's the first one we've done, so we're both testing things out and feeling our way around. But I'd really like for you, John, just to sort of let people know who you are and what you do, and then we'll go from there, I suppose.
Okay. Who am I? My professional title is physiotherapist, but I think I see myself more now as a health professional who kind of looks at every aspect of someone's wellness, and that's my real interest. So I'm trying to spend more time with people from all sorts of different backgrounds, whether they've had an injury, whether it be a musculoskeletal injury or an illness, an ongoing chronic condition. I've pretty much got that in my practice at the moment. I have people from diverse backgrounds coming to see me. And what I'm really interested in doing with all of those people is getting to look at not just the kind of the obvious physical things that a lot of health professionals, physiotherapists work on, but more global approach. So look at their mental health, their physical health, spiritual aspects, as and when appropriate, once we get to know people. Some people are more comfortable to get into things faster than others. So my background, recent background over the last 25 years is physiotherapy is my professional title, but more and more I've kind of drifted to all the more global aspects of wellness, well-being, health, healing, which is a bit of a, in some ways, not a word that a lot of physiotherapists are happy with. Maybe that's unfair, perhaps they are. That's more really my interest. Healing from doing it yourself rather than laying my hands on, but getting people to see that they can heal themselves, which is really what I enjoy for myself and what I enjoy sharing with anyone who wants to come and talk to me.
Yeah, and that is possibly the reason why, more than likely the reason why, you and I have connected. For anybody who doesn't know, I do have a multiple sclerosis and I have various other ails, whether it be arthritis and joint problems and things. And I've always found it interesting that and believe that we can actually do a lot more for ourselves when it comes to healing, rather than hand it all over to somebody to solve our problems. And what I really liked and was connected with you was the fact that you were bringing along your medical knowledge, but then you were allowing me to continue using what only I have inside me, you know, the ability to heal myself and knowing what I need to do to heal myself. And it's been a nice collaboration, you know, and that's how it's supposed to be. And I really liked also the fact that you were looking out of the box. You know, it wasn't just this sort of regimental look at how you help yourself, how you look after yourself. You were actually saying, well, a little bit of that can do and a little bit of that can work, and that's really what it's all about. It's a combination of things rather than just one. So and the conversations, the talks we've had about things, and you know, just it's amazing how so many things out there that we take for granted are all part and parcel of the healing process, and you know, they're just passing us by, you know. If we only just stop for a minute to think about those things and think about how relevant they are with our health, things would be a lot better. And the last thing that we were actually talking about, which is what we're going to talk more about, was the olive tree. Now, I really would love for you to tell us more about this, because it was, you were talking to me last week, and as we started talking and you mentioned this olive tree, I was silent because my mind was going with all the things that you were saying and it started to make a lot more sense. But for those out there probably scratching their heads, I'll leave you to sort of say, to let us know what this whole thing is about the olive tree.
Okay. So it's difficult to know where it started and which end it was coming from. But now it really encapsulates, I try and make everything fit around this notion of what the olive tree does, which is cutting to the chase, which it, under any environment that it finds itself, somehow it managed to continue to thrive. And I'm guessing sometimes it takes longer to rise above certain challenges, but always, no matter how old it is, you see olive trees producing fruit. And again, I'm not an olive tree expert, but I'm sure at some point everything has its day. What that day is, I'm not quite sure. But I've always, whenever I go on holiday, I like to go places where I can just wander around, sometimes on my own, sometimes with the family. But all the while, I like to just bimble around looking at things. And having spent a good 15, 20 years going to Turkey, Greece, I've seen a lot of olive trees, and they're beautiful. I believe they're a very ancient tree, although they've been introduced by humans to various areas as well. But looking at these trees, no matter what they'd gone through, and you see all the kind of roots entangled and above ground, they're kind of going through brick walls, they're going over rocks. And they appear to kind of grow and thrive everywhere. So from this, looking at it, I saw various different things. Didn't matter what shape it was. Some of them that were crooked based on the terrain they were growing in. Some of them obviously had roots cut away or damaged. But again, as I said, they've all still produced fruits. So I was thinking about this and the similarity between us and them. And so what I was came to summarize the olive tree with is that in spite of all any deprivation that it may experience, any trauma it may experience, and just the kind of challenges of age, it still thrives. Its resilience rises above every challenge it faces. And I think we can see that in ourselves. The things that all humans, we all face, is the challenges of time and all that can bring, positive and negative. Most people emphasize the negative, but there's a lot of positive about that, and so too with the tree. The challenges of trauma, we all experience it, whether it's a mental trauma, emotional trauma, physical trauma. Obviously, that was the most obvious thing for me to look at initially, all through my life and all through my career. I kind of pushed the other things to one side or out of my mind. And then the challenge of deprivation. They're all obviously interlinked, but you know, deprivation might be deprivation of nourishment. Nourishment could mean many things, whether it's the obvious nutrition, hydration, whereas nourishment from sleep, whereas nourishment from love, nourishment from physical movement, from breathing, all these things give us nourishment. And if we're deprived of them, then we face challenges. So I could see this in the olive tree. The trauma is kind of obvious, just living in the elements, and a lot of these places that I discovered in Turkey, they're quite well protected. So even to the point where they won't chop through a root so they can build a wall, they'll actually cut out a section of brick so the roots can continue to grow. When they do have to clear them, they lift them up and they move them as one piece to another place. But nevertheless, you can still see when it's experienced trauma, and obviously living in such arid conditions, it goes through periods of time of deprivation of water and nourishment. Although we know more about that, that's another conversation we started to have a couple of weeks ago, just about the amazing, the more I learn, I don't know much about trees, but what I understand about trees is they do have a community, so they can nourish one another. They will try their hardest to produce fruit, but then sometimes they know to withhold and not put any energy into producing fruit. They'll take a year off, a season off, just so they can reserve their energies for another time. They've got a great intelligence, and the nice thing about them, because they live to such an old age, if we allow them to, then everything seems to move more slowly. So to me, who's not a quick thinker, I enjoy to think slowly. It became, the more I looked at olive trees, the more I could see the similarities to us as humans, the things that we could learn from them. If we slowed down and thought, okay, well, you know, I've hurt this now, why does it need to heal in this kind of predefined 6-week term that our knowledge of healing and health is kind of restricted to putting things in boxes? which is convenient, I suppose, when you're teaching things to people, but it also holds us back.
Yeah, when in reality, when we sort of put things in boxes and we treat that as gospel almost, you know, sort of the Holy Grail, we are already restricting ourselves. Yeah. Because in point of fact, that's just not how we work, you know.
Yes.
You're quite right. It's time that we have to give each other and give ourselves.
Yeah.
So I was just really fascinated by the whole thing with the olive tree, and it's so true that when I looked at what I have been through with my health, somewhere along the line, some years ago, I stopped looking at those things as on a negative level. I've stopped looking at them as, that's it. We were talking about scars, weren't we, as well? And I stopped looking at these things as, you know, scars I didn't want to show anybody, or scars that I was ashamed of or embarrassed about. Mm-hmm. I started looking at those scars as the places where the roots, I've come back stronger and the roots are stronger, you know, and I've developed more as a result of those scars. That whole thing about life experiences and how much stronger they can make us,
yes,
you know, even at a time when you have the trauma and the damage, like an olive tree, you know. And you know what's really lovely is the fact that olive, you know, olive oil,
mm-hmm.
I mean, how good is it for us?
Yeah.
You know? And yeah, yet it's coming from a tree that, like you said, potentially has had damage, has had so much going on, has had trauma, and yet it's still producing such life-giving.
And I think it's the kind of the balance between all of those three things as well, that it's as we do, we have that you kind of mentioned it, that when we're in boxes, we kind of kept away, I don't know if you put it quite like this, but we kind of kept away from being ourselves, if you like. So because we get a bit transfixed by the knowledge that other people give us, or not necessarily in a negative way, but they impress us with. We're impressed by knowledge, and quite rightly, you know, this isn't anti-knowledge and hand it all over to yourself, you know, kind of use the knowledge and try to filter out what knowledge is useful to you and what knowledge may be tainted with a bit of someone else's perspective or their opinion.
Yeah.
You know? And then we take the useful bit of the knowledge and then we apply it we use our own experience or other knowledge that we have. And again, back to the olive tree, it has an intelligence. It can't learn. We can't teach it anything. It only knows the truth, if you like. It only has this experience.
That's
so
right.
It can't say, oh, because I can understand a lot of people say, oh, he says that, you know, just trust time. So when you have something, oh, it'll be all right in good time. But you can't just wait for time to heal you. Then when we look at every aspect, well, over time I've been deprived of this nourishment. So whilst you have patience, you're not standing idly by passively.
This
is what people, I think, kind of misunderstand, I think, about when other people talk about time and patience or any one thing, that they attach their own understanding onto it and they don't see the bigger picture. So when you know, as time goes by, you kind of don't focus on just sitting back and waiting, but you look at what traumas you've experienced, you can, and what knowledge can you gain from that experience. Same with the deprivation, you know, what deprivation did the trauma cause. You collate knowledge, you know, and you use professionals to add to your knowledge, and then you guide your own sense of wellness, of peace, healing, whatever it may be.
So would this make sense then? So in the case of talking about time, not just like you said, saying time will heal and sitting back and being quite passive about it, you could be sitting there waiting for a very long time and nothing happens. Would I be right to say that it's important to give ourselves time, as well as in that time, or to factor in small stepping stones in certain areas to build in a better place about what you want?
And so you kind of use that time wisely.
Yeah.
You know, giving my body time to heal, I'm not going to sit by, because I can actually I can actually strengthen my roots. I was kind of thinking before about, you know, one of the, getting back to that analogy with the kind of olive tree or any tree, but I've, as I said, I've got an olive tree on my phone and I just reflect back to it all the time on my screensaver, but it's all trees really, and it's all living things. But to come back to the olive tree, you know, we often get caught up in the fruit, the bearing of the fruit, or the performance, or I must perform in this way, and we neglect our roots, because it all comes down to the foundations, like you said, the little things that you can do in the meantime that you can kind of strengthen, which will allow you to kind of flourish, allow you to thrive. So
we forget our roots because you can't see them. This is the thing, is, you know, when you can't see them, it's easy to forget that they're actually holding everything up. You know, you forget the importance of where they are and what they're doing. So yeah,
that's interesting as well, that when, you know, the bigger the, I was thinking before we started speaking, you know, that sometimes perhaps it's the kind of the more painful experience you have, the more laid bare your roots are, so to speak, the more you kind of, you know, the more you have to look at the basics, because you appreciate the basics.
Definitely. I was speaking with somebody who comes and does our trees, mm-hmm. and we've got a couple of trees in the garden. One of them is sort of pretty, it looks as if with a stiff wind it would go over, because of the way it's grown. I remember the first time I said to him, I'm a bit, you know, do we need to brace that a little bit? What he said really does relate to what we're talking about and made so much sense. He said, the tree, with all the wind blowing, it has had to put its roots in even deeper. And he said, and you'll be surprised, they're probably quite a lot thicker than another tree, the same tree, same species of tree, in you know, that is growing straight and doesn't really have any sort of problems. This tree, because it's already slightly compromised, you know, the angle that it's at, it's really having to work to make sure that it stays where it is and stays strong. And so he said, so you'll be surprised. I mean, he didn't say all of that to me, but that was what he was basically saying.
Reading the lines, listen to what he said and reading between the lines. Yeah.
You know,
and I think so about the tree, talking about your tree, and we can think of loads of trees that don't look the finest examples of their species perhaps, but they, given the environment they're in, they kind of keep going. They don't have a choice of upping their roots and changing the environment. So unless they're born into an environment that that supports them and nourishes them, then they're on their own, literally. But when they're I don't want to kind of make it sound like they're little humans, but if they're stranded on their own in a back garden, which most of our back gardens have kind of trees that aren't part of a bigger community, don't they, considering they're on their own, they're amazingly well, you know. But if you look at the greater life of trees, you know, they have other trees around them that do support them, which, as we were speaking about a couple of weeks ago, something I've been learning from on a book called Hidden Life of Trees just really emphasizes some of the science. It's not just kind of wishful thinking that we look at them and think of ourselves, but some of the qualities of trees working in communities in the shadow of the kind of mother trees, the older trees, they will support one another physically, structurally, and in terms of kind of nourishment and also kind of warning as well, you know, from a sensory perspective as well. They look after one another without attaching any kind of human aspect of intelligence on them, but they have this intelligence of life that they can express. We can see on ourselves as well, you know, in terms of community and leaning on people sometimes when you need to. Very good teacher of mine and a friend of mine, Ray Carbolido, talks about, you know, integrity, you know, and some people, they like to be at the center, and so other people rely on them, and they're very happy for people to lean on them. The thought of showing that they need to lean on other people. And then you've got other people who like to be on the outside of the circle, always looking for someone of integrity to lean upon. And in the extreme example, they don't like having to stand on their own. But obviously both has its strengths, both has its weaknesses. But really we're better off when we can shift from being kind of feeling safe enough or confident enough in those around us that we can ask them for help or just get help. Because we need to be there for other people, even though it might not be part of who we think we are, but we're all capable of being support for someone else.
Absolutely. No, I completely agree with that. And in being that person or doing things in that way, it means that to an extent, no one ever needs to become burnt out, exhausted, frustrated, feel that they are not important or that they are, that too much is put on them. You know, it is that place, dare I say, that balance, really. Yeah. Of being able to be in different places and feeling free that you can be in different places. So I completely agree with that, you know, totally. And this is why I have pretty much always been a huge advocate on getting help, but then at the same time, recognizing how much you can help yourself with the right tools and the right information and enough knowledge. You know, none of us has to be hugely academic or Einstein or whatever. We've all got that third eye. Unfortunately, many of us don't use it. Mm-hmm. A bit like the whole scenario or situation with the tree and the roots and not seeing the roots and almost never thinking about them. You know, you just see the tree and the fruit, like you said, and think, oh, how wonderful it is, but you don't think about where that's coming from.
Yeah.
And so I feel that if we all had that deeper understanding of the roots of our lives, what's going on around us, actually looked around at everything and remember that everything has roots.
Yes.
And then you can start thinking about what have those roots taken up.
Yes. Yeah.
To create whatever has come out at the top.
Yes.
It then starts to make so much more sense in your health. Mm. We can start looking at nutrition in a different way. When we start looking at the food we're eating, we're now starting to question where it grew,
mm-hmm.
what the soil was like where it grew, because obviously it's taken in everything from that soil and it has become that soil, you know. And then we become that thing. It's absolutely amazing. And then of course, you know, we become that thing and then we respond in a certain way based on what we've taken in. And I find the whole thing really fascinating and certainly something that, like you said, it's you can talk about it in relation to something else, and that just proves the fact that it's in there. It's not just one thing, it's the whole cycle of life, really, the roots.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And then at some point, you just have to, you know, get away from the concept, because the concept is good. It helps us understand sometimes that, you know, we all like a story, but then it means nothing unless you kind of feel it. You kind of embody these things. So sometimes it makes it really obvious when you go out and you look at nature, but, you know, being there and having your feet on the ground and feeling, as you said, feeling it, not just imagining it, but, you know, so often I'll say to clients, imagine, feel, and then I think maybe imagine is not the right, you know, that right word. It's, you know, feel this, don't imagine it. It's happening. It's not just a theoretical philosophy. You know, in every aspect of life, you'll see these things. And even if humans don't actually have roots, it's part of our language. We talk about up in roots. We talk about roots, you know, we talk about a family tree, you know, we've already got it in our language and we're happy to use that language. It's kind of looking at how it relates to us and feeling it, not just imagining that story fits me, but feeling what your roots are, you know, and that comes from practicing awareness in every dimension, whatever your practices are. Whether it be artwork, we've talked about art, whether it be kind of movement or boxing, another thing that you kind of enjoy, whatever it is, you look at the various elements of that and what you're enjoying about it when you reflect on it, and the benefits that come later. So it's kind of understanding that when we look at it a little bit deeper, we use other people's knowledge, which we've always done, to cultivate ourselves further. And then you've got this this kind of process of awareness and kind of taking the time to balance ourselves, to regulate what we have.
Well, I have had a really, it's that thing where we have done it before, where we've been on the phone and we have talked and talked, and there's always something really interesting to think about. And for me, there's always the things that we've talked about I can relate to, or at least being I'm coming from a design background, you know, I can visualize, I can picture, I can see where something that's said makes sense or fits in or, you know, resonates with part of my learning and my growing process. And I know that it's something that not everybody can do, or they can do it, but they need to do it in different ways. You know, they need to pick up certain information. So this is something that I'm really interested to share and try and help people with. I use a lot of image work with people that I'm speaking with, and I use a lot of analogies as well, and a lot of storytelling. Obviously it's real stories, but this helps, because sometimes talking to somebody about something that has actually happened, or describing something in real time, you have people say, oh yeah, that makes sense now, I understand that, you know, and then pushing it into something a bit deeper in order to expand what you're saying. Yeah, I think that's really, really helpful.
And I think it's good to explore, although when I talked about the olive tree today, but again, you say something, this just won't resonate for some people. And I heard, what's his name? Don Miguel Ruiz, who has written some amazing books, looking at it from, this is just my perspective, this is my story. You know, I'm expressing he comes from a Toltec tradition, and it's, you know, there's the artists, every human is an artist. So they say, well, the way I tell my story reflects who I am.
That's right. So
you have to kind of take this story of the olive tree and say, well, no, I don't get that at all. But then you look at what makes you tick. And what is it, your roots, even if you don't want to call it a root, what's fundamental to who you are, your health, whether it's mental health, physical health, emotional health, are you really even addressing it? Are you aware of it? But because it's happening, you don't, as you said before, you don't have to have a deep knowledge, but you want to be able to feel it. Look at these stories until you find one that fits someone, as a professional talking to a client or someone that's kind of trying to learn from you or be helped by you, then you're looking for something that resonates with them, and you keep looking rather than saying, you must understand my olive tree story.
definitely.
Yeah.
I think the reason why I feel or have felt that the olive tree story would sing to many people is just because of the various part. I mean, everybody knows what an olive, you know, what an olive tree is, or at least they know that you can have the olives from it. You know, we've all connected with the olive tree, even if we haven't realized it. We've all have in some way, shape or form, whether it's the oil it produces, whether it's the actual olives, whether it's growing one, whether it's seeing one. So, you know, and then of course, like you said, it is a tree, you know, just like any other tree. So one thing that it does have that other trees have is roots. So there's so much already that I can use or would be able to relate to. And then of course you can get deeper, you can then start to go from there. That's why I really, when you started talking about it before, I remember thinking, this would be a really interesting conversation, you know, and a good chat to have.
That's nice. Yeah, loud.
Yeah, definitely. I've really loved it, and I hope that we can do this again.
We can
talk about other things that are going on. Yeah, I'm really happy, and I'm looking forward to seeing you physically again to resume our sessions as well. Because to end on what we've been talking about, one thing that I have really enjoyed is not just having your physio skills and the professional side of things that you have cultivated for over 20 years, but like you said, that extra thing that you have, where we've been doing a lot of meditation, we have been doing a lot of Qigong sort of stretch work. There's so many other things that make up what you do, and I've really appreciated it and feel that it's really important to have those things, and also not just having them but being able to put one of them to one side because maybe this week or this session we don't want to use it or it's not going to work, and picking up something else and using that a bit more. Yes. Which I feel has been really helpful, because of course, as you know, there are some days when you see me and I'm not really in the mood to do that, but I really want to do more of that, you know. Yes. Yeah. And these are all the things that create that strength building, energy finding, positive feeling, because on no occasion am I feeling that I'm failing anything, you know what I mean? I feel that I'm still able to, and yeah, that's really important, and that I really appreciate us having that connection and relationship, is that whatever it is that I'm doing what I can to move forward, as opposed to this real, I must do it this way and it has to happen that way. And of course, we know that that generally doesn't end well anyway.
It's less fruitful.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. You know,
yeah. And to counter that, you know, that's what I appreciate about working with you as well, is that the chance to work in that way with you and explore these things together. It's what I enjoy. Sure. So it's nice to work with people who share, that's what they want from themselves. So, sure. Sure. Yeah.
And therein lies the root of it all, which is that, as I said before, you don't rely on one person to bring it all to you. You meet in the middle. Think about stuff together. So I'm looking forward to our next session. But in the meantime, look after yourself and the family.
Brilliant. Thanks. Thanks for your time.
Okay. No worries. Thank you for your time. Thank you. Take care, John.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.
I'd also like to thank listeners for tuning in. I hope you found the subject really interesting, and I'm looking forward to bringing you my next episode. Bye for now.